Good morning. The General Assembly will consider in a joint debate Agenda Item 30, Report of the Peacebuilding Commission, and Agenda Item 112, Report of the Secretary General on the Peacebuilding Fund. In connection with Agenda Item 30, the Assembly has before it the report of the Peacebuilding Commission on its seventh session, circulated as Document A/68/729. Under Agenda Item 112, the Assembly has before it the report of the Secretary General on the Peacebuilding Fund, contained in Document A/68/722. Today is an important day in the United Nations because we are considering a report produced by the Secretariat on the functioning of the Peacebuilding Commission, which comes before its 10th anniversary. And this is a moment when delegations will have the opportunity to bring forward new ideas and visions and their own experiences as to the functioning in the past of the Commission and recommendations looking forward. Without any further comments, I'd now like to give the floor to the distinguished representative of Croatia, who is also the former chairman of the Peacebuilding Commission.
Mr. President, on behalf of the members of the Peacebuilding Commission, I am pleased to present the report of the Commission on its seventh session as contained in the document A/68/729 and also in the document S/2014/67. This report presents the progress made in taking forward the recommendations of the 2010 review of the peacebuilding architecture, and it's organized around the three main functions of the Commission, namely advocacy and sustaining attention, resource mobilization, and forging coherence. Allow me, Mr. President, to highlight a number of issues from this report that deserves the particular attention of the General Assembly. First, and given its unique compositional structure, the Commission needs to capitalize on the wealth of experience and diverse capacities which its membership can offer in support of peacekeeping objectives for the countries on its agenda. This was a key conclusion of the 2010 review. During the reporting period, additional emphasis was placed on increasingly engaging the members from the region and sub-region in supporting the peace-building processes in the countries concerned. The turn of events in Guinea-Bissau and Central African Republic over the past year, as well as the increasing focus of the African Union to its new African Solidarity Initiative on projecting African solutions to Africa's problems, confirmed that PBC will gain greater credibility and effectiveness if its African members are fully engaged and supportive of the broader peace-building objectives that are being pursued by the Commission. Second, the Commission continues to recognize that its membership structure should also reinforce the scope and modality of its advisory role to the United Nations principal organs. Process in enhancing ownership and collective responsibility among its members should be first and foremost manifested in championing concrete and practical steps to bring key peace-building-related opportunities and challenges to the attention of the Security Council, the General Assembly, and Economic and Social Council. I'm pleased to note that the reporting period witnessed significant progress in clarifying the scope and in identifying practical modalities in respect to the Commission's advisory role to the Security Council. At the same time, efforts aimed at achieving similar progress in relation to the General Assembly and to ECOSOC need to be further intensified. Third, the Commission has embarked on an ambitious work program focused on delivering of its three core functions to the engagement with Burundi, the Central African Republic, Guinea, Guinea-Bissau, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. Through its country-specific engagement, the Commission is constantly reminded that peace-building is not a linear process. It is rather a process fraught with challenges that are typically context-specific and that take various forms at different stages of the peace-building efforts. I would like to highlight the following points in relation to the three functions of the Commission. Firstly, the Commission's country-specific engagement over the past year confirmed that advocacy and accompaniment function of the PBC depends first and foremost on the level of commitment demonstrated by national interlocutors and on the quality of the international response in support of such commitment. The Commission, therefore, promotes an approach of mutual accountability and commitments in its support for the peace-building processes in the countries on its agenda. Examples in this regard, from Burundi to Liberia, are presented in greater detail in the report that is before the Assembly. Secondly, the PBC is undertaking its resource mobilization function against the backdrop of realizing that it's not a fundraising mechanism. This is a statement based on lessons learned over 8 years in operation. Instead, and as intergovernmental body, the PBC is best suited to help the countries develop and roll out national resource mobilization strategies for peace-building related activities and programs. The Commission has also projected itself as a platform to advocate for the timely development, for the timely deployment of targeted resources, especially in crisis situations such as in Central African Republic and Guinea-Bissau, or as countries approach critical milestones such as the elections which took place in Guinea last year. The enhanced synergy with the peace-building fund has made these timely interventions possible. Thirdly, addressing the challenge and competing agendas and fragmentation of peace-building activities remains a central objective for the Commission. However, the PBC's function on forging coherence is being undertaken by promoting a greater focus on opportunities for peace-building, by pointing to strategic gaps in response to peace-building priorities, and by drawing the attention of key stakeholders, especially regional and sub-regional actors, to bottlenecks in the peace-building processes. The complementarity between the roles of the Commission and the United Nations senior leadership is a key factor for fostering coherence in messages and actions. This was increasingly manifested last year in the Commission's engagement in Burundi, the Central African Republic, and Guinea-Bissau. Mr. President, the transition from the security and politically focused United Nations missions to the more development-oriented UN country teams is a process which highlights the interlinkage between the PBC's three core functions. In 2013, the Commission positions itself to support the drawdown of the United Nations Integrated Peacebuilding Office in Sierra Leone, UNIPSIL, to a United Nations country team. In parallel to this plenary meeting, the Security Council is finalizing the decision on the closing down the and IPSIL, thus ushering Sierra Leone onto a new phase of its transformation towards socio-economic development. The Commission will be engaged this year in support of another planned transition of the United Nations office in Burundi. The working groups on lessons learned will be dedicating its work in 2014 to identify areas where the PBC's three functions can be strategically and effectively deployed in support of this and future transitions in agenda countries. Mr. President, recognizing the important contribution of women to peace building, the Commission approached its thematic focus on economic revitalization and national reconciliation during the reporting period by examining the gender dimensions of both themes. A partnership with UN Women has enabled the Commission to explore, raise awareness, and draw lessons from the transformative role of women in post-conflict societies. A high-level event on women's economic empowerment for peace building was convened last September and was chaired by the First Prime Minister and Minister of Foreign and European Affairs of Croatia. The event resulted in a political declaration which affirmed the commitment of the Commission members to women's economic empowerment for peace building. A meeting of the Working Group on Lessons Learned in December also reaffirmed the importance of gender mainstreaming in planning, priority setting, design, and delivery of national reconciliation processes. Mr. President, the Commission will convene its first ever national substantive session on 23rd of June this year in order to enable closer interaction and engagement among the relevant stakeholders in New York and on the ground, as well from the capitals of member states. The holding of the annual session can potentially strengthen the Commission's contribution to the development of intergovernmental policy and political support in areas which can improve outcomes for people in countries emerging from conflict. In addition, the next reporting period, from 1st January to 31st December 2014, will mark the end of the second five-year review cycle for the peace-building architecture. As mandated by the General Assembly and the Security Council, a further comprehensive review in 2015 will be initiated by both organs. The 2015 review is expected to assess progress made in the implementation of key recommendations emanating from the 2010 review and to take stock of remaining challenges. The Commission will initiate advance informal preparation where it will also identify areas of institutional and policy reforms that can be readily put into practice through its country-specific engagement ahead of the 2015 review. Finally, Mr. President, I wish to acknowledge the role of the Peace Building Support Office and that of Assistant Secretary General Judy Cheng Hopkins and her team in support of the Commission's work and activities. The office is increasingly drawing on and channeling the expertise and knowledge within and outside the UN system in support of the PBC's policy and country-specific activities. And I would personally like to thank them warmly for all assistance throughout my chairmanship last year. In conclusion, Mr. President, I must emphasize the past year witnessed a number of positive but also some worrying developments which can both call for further intensifying efforts to seize opportunities and address threats to sustaining peace. While we continue to face systematic challenges, we must commit to face these challenges with the requisite resolve and determination. We are approaching a crucial year in 2015. Where we can collectively help shape the future socio-economic and peace-building agenda of the United Nations. These efforts must come together and must be mutually reinforcing. I thank you for your attention.
I thank the permanent representative of Croatia. Now I give the floor to the distinguished permanent representative of Brazil, who is also chairman of the Peacebuilding Commission. You have the floor.
Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Mr. President.
And I'm very pleased to follow in Ambassador Dobrynyak's intervention here at the podium. Today's debate represents an annual opportunity for the wider membership of the United Nations to reflect on an increasingly significant aspect of the United Nations response to post-conflict challenges. The plight of millions of people living in countries emerging from conflict continues long after the guns have been silenced and semblance of peace prevails. The path to healing the scars caused by war and the rebuilding of institutions that deliver security, justice, basic services, and economic opportunity and protect fundamental rights is long and fraught with enormous challenges. The international community continues to struggle to help the countries emerging from conflict to meet these challenges. This is partly caused by our inability to sustain attention and focus on the needs and priorities of these countries for as long as they deserve, in order to prevent relapse into conflict and to avoid protracted instability. This can also be partly due to a fundamental difficulty in addressing or providing an adequate response to the deep sociological and psychological divides that tend to survive or even grow beneath the surface of peace agreements, power-sharing arrangements, or institutional reform processes, if left unattended. As we witness in various situations the importance of conflict prevention, long-term engagement and due consideration of the root causes of conflict cannot be overemphasized. In a briefing to the Security Council on post-conflict peace building last week, I noted that the recent crisis in the Central African Republic and South Sudan remind us that the nature of peace building requires careful examination of strategies which tend to see stabilization as a sequence of different stages or priorities rather than as an integrated, multidimensional process. Post-conflict response is often best served by strategies that approach security, political, and socio-economic dimensions simultaneously. Through the work undertaken by the Peacebuilding Commission and the Peacebuilding Fund in the countries concerned, the synergy and complementarity between the political and programmatic dimensions of peacebuilding is a distinct feature of the UN peacebuilding architecture. This key interaction has been demonstrated by the recent activities of the Central African Republic configuration after the chair's visit to the country earlier this month, and the contribution of the Peacebuilding Fund to a spectrum of important stabilization activities, which is commendable for showing that peacebuilding efforts can begin at the very outset of the search for peace and stability. Another distinct feature of this architecture is its continuous outreach on behalf of the UN to key and relevant regional and international partners whose engagement and commitment is critical. The Commission and the Fund can keep us focused on and committed to ensuring that opportunities for building and sustaining peace are seized and nurtured, and that risks and bottlenecks that undermine peace are addressed and overcome in a timely and comprehensive manner. Mr. President, as reflected in the report of the Peacebuilding Commission on its seventh session, the Commission has increasingly demonstrated added value in certain contexts and in specific areas of its core functions. However, the process of fine-tuning and sharpening the PBC's approach and tools and of adapting them to changing circumstances and specific needs is very much a work in progress. The composition and intergovernmental character of the PBC provided with the authority and legitimacy to articulate strategic guidance, forge greater coherence, and strengthen national and regional ownership of peacebuilding efforts. As a diplomatic platform that is mandated to advise the General Assembly and the Security Council, and that brings together key regional and global actors, the PBC is uniquely placed to promote greater harmony between the sub-regional, regional, and international dimensions of post-conflict response. Therefore, one of the Commission's key priority areas this year is to make the most of the engagement of its African members and to establish deep and dynamic partnerships with Africa's regional and sub-regional organizations. African regional and sub-regional organizations are displaying an unprecedented level of coordination, political will, and ability to promote regional solutions. We need to work with the African group and the members of the newly established African Caucus of the PBC so as to together define how regional and sub-regional perspectives can be further integrated into the work of the PBC and the UN more broadly. The PBC launched its thematic and normative work in 2013 by focusing on women's economic empowerment for peace building and gender-responsive national reconciliation. The PBC has placed emphasis on the transformative role of women in post-conflict societies and on the need to continue to accord the requisite attention and priority to women's role and participation in peace building and sustaining peace. As noted by my predecessor in his presentation of the PBC's report on its seventh session, the Ambassador of Croatia, the Commission will be convening its first ever annual substantive session on 23rd June 2014. The annual session this year will become a standing occasion for examining peace-building-related themes and areas where intergovernmental policy and commitment could contribute to more timely, sustained, and effective responses to the needs of people in countries emerging from conflict. The first annual session will particularly address the national and international aspects of sustainable resources and capacities for peace-building. As a core function of the PBC, the discussion of the financial and human capacity dimensions of resource mobilization assumes particular significance. It will relate to efforts aimed at strengthening national ownership and ensuring sustainable support to improve the lives of affected populations, including in the context of the transition of UN missions. The PBC is keen to engage a wide segment of stakeholders and actors from within and outside the United Nations in the substantive discussions of this theme. In keeping with its advisory function to this body, the PBC is looking forward to sharing the key findings and recommendations of the annual session with the General Assembly. Finally, Mr. President, the upcoming 10-year review of the United Nations peacebuilding architecture offers an excellent opportunity for the wider membership to renew its commitments to the original vision and purpose of the PBC. We need to make the most of the opportunity offered by the review to identify areas and approaches where the PBC can practically demonstrate its continuing relevance to the UN and global efforts aimed at sustaining peace and development. As I underscored before the Security Council last week, the Commission can further evolve into a valuable intergovernmental instrument for building and sustaining peace, and for confronting the threats that undermine peace in a timely and comprehensive manner. I am convinced that, to this effect, our efforts in the UN should remain people-centered, not only in terms of supporting programs and projects that seek to promote concrete improvements in the lives of the people facing the daunting challenges of emergency and instability, but also by actively hearing their voices, learning from their narratives, and allowing their experience to become the very material for sustainable recovery. I believe that in 2014, the Peacebuilding Commission can be the locus for strengthening such a learning exercise and embarking on an enriched dialogue among partners rather than between providers and beneficiaries. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the permanent representative of Brazil. I now give the floor to the permanent representative of Tunisia, who will speak on behalf of the non-aligned movement. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
I have the honor to speak on behalf of the non-aligned movement in the joint debate on the report of the Peacebuilding Commission on its seventh session, and the Secretary General report on the Peace Building Fund. I would like at the outset to thank you, Mr. President, for organizing this meeting. I also thank Mr. Antonio de Aguiar Patriota, Permanent Representative of Brazil, Chair of the PBC, for the quality of his statement. Allow me also to extend my sincere thanks for Ambassador Ranko Vidovic, Permanent Representative of the Republic of Croatia to the United Nations, for his dedication and commitment toward the work of the Commission during its seventh session. The movement highly commends the election of Morocco as chair of the Central African Republic configuration as well. Mr. President, The establishment of the PBC provides us with a coordinated, coherent, and integrated institutional mechanism to address the special needs of countries emerging from conflict towards recovery, reintegration, and reconstruction at their request, in accordance with the principle of national ownership in laying the foundation for sustainable development. Moving forward in performing its objectives, the movement supports the focus on the Commission on the following points. Relations with the principal organs of the United Nations. The movement urged the Security Council, the General Assembly, and ECOSOC to utilize the expertise of the PBC by ensuring participation in discussions on all issues of relevance to or falling within the competence of the PBC. In this regard, the NAM welcomes the presidential statements, which reiterates the principles of national ownership and inclusivity, as well as highlights the important role of PBC in advancing and supporting an integrated and coherent approach to peace building. The NAM also welcomes the unanimous adoption by the Security Council of the Resolution S-Res 2086-2013, which highlights the continued willingness of the Security Council to make use of the advisory, advocacy, and resource mobilization role of the PBC in peace-building activities, as well as the need to harness these roles in advancing a coherent approach with respect to multidimensional peacekeeping mandates in countries on its agenda. We stress, in the same context, the importance of ensuring an early assessment of peace-building challenges in multidimensional peacekeepings, so as to ensure better coordination and prioritization of peace-building and peacekeeping activities in missions' mandates. Furthermore, the movement stresses on the necessity to promote the institutional relations between the PBC and the General Assembly, the Security Council, and the ECOSOC, without prejudice to the functions and powers of the other principal organs of the United Nations in relation to post-conflict peace building. The General Assembly must play a key role in the formulation and the implementation of post-conflict peace building activities. We underline as well the central role of the PBC in the formulation and implementation of such activities and functions. Marshalling resources. We reiterate in this regard the necessity to provide required and timely resources in order to help ensuring predictable financing for recovery activities and sustained financial investment over the medium to long term. We stress as well the necessity to ensure the sustainability of funding for the countries on the agenda of PBC. In the same connection, we are concerned by the lack of coordination and coherence among financial donors, resulting in duplication and redundancy in particular areas and the neglect of other catalytic projects. Therefore, we call for the setup of a mechanism within the PBC to review within each country configurations ways and means to ensure unity of efforts by donors in close cooperation with host countries. With regard to the work of the country-specific configurations, the movement acknowledges in this context the progress made so far by the Commission in the elaboration of the strategic frameworks for peacebuilding since it started its operations with respect to the six countries on its agenda, namely Burundi, Sierra Leone, Guinea-Bissau, Central African Republic, Guinea, and Liberia. The movement reiterates the fundamental role of the PBC in the conception, with the consent of the countries under consideration and in conformity with the principle of national ownership of integrated strategies for post-conflict peace building and recovery. In the same respect, we do consider that additional efforts should be deployed to operationalize the principle of national ownership through the adoption of demand-driven approach based on joint assessments with host countries. Furthermore, we stress the importance of ensuring that the country-specific configuration of the PBC develop effective and cooperative mechanism based on sustained dialogue with the host countries and the review. With regard to the working methods of the PBC, the movement reaffirms the work of the Organizational Committee of the Peacebuilding Commission as the central organ of the Commission with responsibilities as described in General Assembly Resolution 60/180. As well as considering the Organizational Committee suitable platform for strategy and policy discussions to promote the rules and working methods of the Commissions. On the specific issue of the conduct of the PBC meetings, a new level of attention and resolve on the part of Member States and the top echelon of the Secretariat is required, as outlined in 2010 review, hardly needs reiteration. The movement underlines the importance of building on Bangladesh and Croatia initiative of holding high-level meetings of the PBC, respectively in September 2012 and September 2013. In this regard, the movement welcomes the decision of holding the first annual session of the Commission on 23 June 2014 in connection with the annual stakeholders' meeting of the Peace Building Fund and commends Indonesia for steering the discussions on its modalities. We underline in the same context the importance of institutionalizing the annual session of the PBC with the aim of reinforcing the coherence and relevance of its work, offering a forum for engaging substantive discussions on its selected team and guiding the PBC policy orientation. Mr. President, turning to the report of the Secretary General of the Peacebuilding Fund, we thank the member states that have made contributions to the fund. We reiterate as well the importance of increasing the funding target of the PBF to make it more capable of financing additional projects in post-conflict countries. The PBF must continue to be geared towards providing critical support during the early stage of the peace building process to avert relapse into conflict. There is also an urgent need for closer synergy between the PBC and the PBF through a strategic relationship to ensure greater coherence and coordination between the two organs and avoid duplication. In this regard, we take note of the recommendation and the revised terms of reference of the Peace Building Fund as contained in General Assembly Resolution 63/282 and its annex, and we reaffirm the roles of the General Assembly and the Peace Building Commission to provide policy guidance on the use of this fund in order to maximize its impact in the field and improve its functioning to make the fund more efficient, transparent, flexible, and facilitate the distribution of funds, particularly for quick impact and emerging projects. We stress as well the necessity of having a mechanism to assess whether allocations from the PBF are directed to the appropriate channels leading to peace building. Finally, Mr. President, let me conclude by reiterating the movement assurances of continuing constructive and meaningful engagement in all future peace building activities. I thank you for your attention.
I thank the permanent representative of Tunisia for his statement, and now I give the floor to the representative of the United States of America.
Thank you, Mr. President. The United States actively supports the work of the Peace Building Commission and the Peace Building Fund as important instruments to assist countries making the fragile transition from conflict to sustainable peace. The United Nations peacebuilding architecture helps keep attention on countries emerging from conflict, develop more effective strategies to build peace, and mobilize necessary resources to prevent relapse into conflict. Effective peacebuilding should be a strategic imperative for the United Nations, as it is the ultimate goal of enduring peace that should guide the many entities of the United Nations and member states in mobilizing the necessary tools, instruments, and strategies to support countries making the difficult transition out of conflict. Therefore, the United States has supported the PBC's and PBF's ambitions, which align with many of the United States' own priorities for global cooperation, leading and supporting whole-of-government solutions, investing in building blocks of stronger societies, preventing and responding to crises and conflict, and building operational and resource platforms for success. Mr. President, the activities of 2013 underscore the potential of the Peacebuilding Commission as a strategic platform that brings together specific countries on its agenda with relevant international stakeholders for stabilizing post-conflict situations so as to prevent relapse into conflict. The PBC in 2013 helped identify and resolve sticking points and helped to ensure that available resources were better utilized so as to help close the gap between immediate post-conflict efforts on the one hand and long-term recovery and development efforts on the other. The United States delegation acknowledges that work remains to be done to improve the coherence, quality, and impact of the wider UN system's activities in specific contexts that have the potential to promote peace building. The United States takes note of the Peacebuilding Commission's efforts in 2013 to improve its relationship with the many other UN entities for more effectiveness at UN headquarters and, more importantly, in the fields of operations. The United States delegation will continue to participate with colleagues for increasing the PBC's effectiveness, including making further progress on the goals the Secretary General identified in the 2010 five-year review of the Commission. Mr. President, the forthcoming annual session of the Peacebuilding Commission on June 23rd, UN Peacebuilding Day, will provide an important opportunity to focus on strategic issues that can sharpen both UN system support and wider international support for peace building. The United States delegation is pleased to see the focus at that annual session on resource mobilization, which is welcome. The trends are extremely clear that extreme poverty and stalled development will increasingly be concentrated in conflict-affected states. This underscores that the PBC membership must give fresh, ambitious, and strategic attention to resource mobilization. My delegation is glad that the annual session will afford an opportunity to take stock of lessons learned about the transition and exit from peacebuilding theaters. The PBC is in a continuing learning process as it engages with post-conflict countries in various stages for identifying the Commission's strengths and potentials as well as its limitations. Conflict prevention, long-term engagement, and due consideration of the root causes of conflicts have continued to be as relevant as ever, and the annual session will raise the flag higher for sustaining the international community's attention to post-conflict situations after the newspaper headlines move on to other topics. Discussion from the annual session will sharpen the context for the 2015 mandated review of the UN's peacebuilding architecture 10 years after its creation. The United States delegation welcomes the review and looks forward to thoughtful input from all corners, intergovernmental, national, civil society, and academic. All stakeholders emphasizing in their own ways the need for elevated and more strategic attention to peace building, and for us to bring critical scrutiny to the quality and impact of all of our instruments for promoting peace building, starting with the Peacebuilding Commission and UN peacebuilding architecture more generally. The United States delegation looks forward to such active participation in the assessment. Finally, Mr. President, the Peacebuilding Fund has shown increasing added value and, almost as important, the flexibility to adapt and refine its methods in order to be most impactful. The United States notes Peacebuilding Fund's success at responding rapidly and pursuing rigorous evaluation and encourages the Peacebuilding Fund to continue to build a comparative advantage. Its work filling crucial gaps in donor funding in post-crisis and post-conflict countries is commendable, such as providing financial support for the reintegration of former combatants in Burundi, Central African Republic, and Guinea, the completion of the regional justice and security hubs in Liberia, and elections support in Sierra Leone. Therefore, the United States welcomes greater insights into the strength of the Peacebuilding Fund's work. Thank you, Mr. President.
I'd like to thank the representative of the United States for his statement, and now I give the floor to the permanent representative of the Netherlands.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Muchas gracias, señor presidente. I align myself with a statement of the European Union. First of all, allow me to express my appreciation for the efforts of Ambassador Vladimir Drobnjak as chair of the Peace Building Commission. And allow me also to wish his successor, Ambassador Antonio Patriotti of Brazil, every success in your new role as chair of the PBC. The Netherlands has been a strong supporter of the Peace Building Commission and the Peace Building Fund from their conception, and we continue to believe in the vital importance of their work. We therefore welcome these thorough reports and the discussion today. I would like to highlight 3 points on the PBC, on the PBF, and the PBSO. First of all, on the Peace Building Commission. The Netherlands looks forward to the first annual review on the 23rd of June. The Netherlands remains committed to a strong PBC, and we will actively participate in the review process. We are an engaged member of the Burundi Confederation, and we believe the interaction between the PBC and our bilateral cooperation with Burundi makes us more effective. We see a strong link between the success of the PBC and the greater UN peace-building structure, and of course, close cooperation of the PBC with the Security Council, the General Assembly, and the ECOSOC is crucial. My second point concerns the Peace-Building Fund. The PBF has been successful in addressing risks to peace in Guinea, advancing reconciliation, extending security and justice coverage in Liberia, and conflict prevention in Chad. I mention these because the PBF is often active in fragile and conflict-affected states, which are at the risk of losing out when other conflicts are at the center of the international community's attention. And therefore, the work and activities of the PBF are so important. The Netherlands has contributed 20 million euros for the period 2012-2015 to the PBF, because we believe it occupies a strategic niche due to its catalytic nature, its flexibility, and its legitimacy. We want the PBF to build on these advantages and to coordinate closely with UNDP, DPA, and others to strengthen the overall effectiveness of the UN in the field. We also see a number of challenges for the PBF. Resources from the fund are being used as additional funding for existing UN programs, rather than addressing strategic peace-building needs and filling critical funding gaps. A possible solution for this could be more strategic planning and involvement of PBSO at the country level. Let me also stress the importance of a strengthened focus on gender. Unfortunately, we have to see that the PBF pledged to reach a target of 15% spending of its annual budget on gender issues, but that this percentage, unfortunately, was not reached in the last years. We should do better in that respect. As my minister, Frans Timmermans, said during the conference on Syrian women during Geneva II, women have a crucial role in implementing a future peace agreement. That is why their voice matters. And certainly after the CSW last week and its successful conclusion, it's a point which PBF should take at its heart. There are 2 points where the PBF could make important gains. Monitoring and evaluation structures in countries need strengthening. And then furthermore, the full impact of the UN in a governed country should be visible, consistent with the delivery as one approach. And this could be done by increased focus on strategic impact and achievements in stabilization and peace building. And in that way, its reports will be more relevant. My third and final point concerns the PBSO. We commend the PBSO on the way it has acted on previous recommendations. And we would like to encourage PBSO to focus on 4 specific points in the coming period. First, a stronger focus on strategic analysis, design of programming, and gender-related issues. Secondly, maintaining sufficient operational capacity. Thirdly, improving communications with relevant stakeholders. And fourthly, starting projects with non-UN actors. As the Prime Minister of the Netherlands, Mark Rutte, said at the opening address at the Nuclear Security Summit this week in The Hague in the Netherlands, he said the following: "The pursuit of peace and progress can never be relaxed and can never be abandoned." And that should be also a guiding principle for the work of PBSO. It is our joint responsibility as member states to persist in building and improving our common peace-building structures, which can have such significant and positive effects on the lives of those who have been affected by conflict. And to that end, the Netherlands is and will remain a partner for the UN and the other member states, a partner for peace, justice, and development. Thank you very much for your attention. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
I thank the permanent representative of the Netherlands for his statement, and now I give the floor to the ambassador and head of the delegation of the European Union.
Mr. President, I have the honor to speak on behalf of the European Union and its member states. The candidate countries Turkey, Montenegro and Serbia, the countries of the stabilization and association process and potential candidates Albania and Bosnia and Herzegovina, as well as the Republic of Moldova and Georgia, align themselves with this statement. Mr. President, thank you for having convened today's important session revolving around the annual report of the Peacebuilding Commission on its seventh session on the Peacebuilding Fund. This represents a good occasion to take stock of the achievements made over the past 12 months, draw some lessons, and apply them for the future. Ahead of the upcoming comprehensive 10-year review, the UN Peacebuilding and Architecture in 2015, the PBC needs to demonstrate accelerated progress, cohesion in New York and in the field, better cooperation with the international financial institutions and various UN bodies, and concrete impact in the countries on its agenda. We look forward to the 2015 comprehensive review, taking into account progress that has been made by all UN actors since the PBC's creation. Mr. President, peacebuilding is a long-term enterprise. It goes beyond short-term crisis management and incorporates longer-term efforts to consolidate stability and build just and effective states with fair, peaceful, and inclusive societies. We have learned from our common experience over the past years that no one-size-fits-all template can be applied to fluid and complex situations where priority areas span across peace and security, development, humanitarian needs, and human rights, and where all too often we lose sight of the underlying political economy of countries and regions. Peacebuilding should therefore be country-focused. The United Nations system in all its parts, including the Peacebuilding Commission, has a pivotal role to play in this respect. The EU is engaged in peacebuilding activities in many countries through our broad and long-term engagement in development, economic cooperation, trade, and other instruments. This is why the EU has fully participated in the PBC's work since its establishment. The EU has also been a member of all country-specific configurations of the PBC since their inception and is trying to provide the best support possible for their success, taking into account the different approaches required for each individual agenda country. Through PBC, we can link our bilateral engagement to the global efforts and support for the UN, and we are represented in all country-specific countries by delegations of our own. Mr. President, the two annual reports before us today are both comprehensive documents illustrating the multifaceted challenges ahead. We appreciate the efforts by the Organizational Committee and the Peacebuilding Support Office to provide an assessment of the PBC's work in pursuing its forward agenda for 2013. In addition to actions pertaining to its core functions of advocacy and sustained attention, resource mobilization, and forging coherence, we applaud that the Commission has addressed the important issue of activating the role of its membership as well as its links with the principal UN organs. We also welcome the attention to documenting the working methods as well as the emerging partnership between the PBSO and the Dag Hammarskjöld Foundation. The European Union fully supports the forward agenda for this year that was distilled from the analysis of activities over the past year. As far as the country-specific configurations are concerned, there is some good progress to report, while many challenges remain to be tackled. In our view, the PBC still has a role to play in all these countries, as well as in other post-conflict countries at varying levels of intensity, through its convening power as an intergovernmental advisory body. It would be useful to explore further the flexible use of the PBC in addressing conflict and post-conflict situations, also in countries not formally on the agenda. One may ask the question as to why no new situations have been added to the PBC's agenda in the last 3 years, either at the request of governments or referred to the PBC by the Security Council. On the upside, the PBC positioned itself to support the transition of UNIPSIL and initiated a process to consider its own transition to a lighter form of engagement in Sierra Leone. It also continued to accompany Burundi in the follow-up to the 2012 Geneva Partners Conference and the future transformation of BNUP into an electoral observation mission, and Liberia in the design and initiation of the national reconciliation process, improvement of the security and justice sectors, and on issues related to land and natural resources. The Guinea configuration supported UN, United Nations and regional-led efforts in support of Guinea's legislative elections. Country-specific partnerships between the PBC and the international financial institutions and regional development banks on the basis of national development strategies are a positive trend that should be developed further. At the same time, the PBC's engagement in Guinea-Bissau and the Central African Republic faced the challenges and faces the challenges accompanying derailed peace-building processes in the wake of unconstitutional changes of government. These situations have underlined the limitations to the PBC's impact and the need to reflect further on the nature, scope, and timing of exercising its role in drawing and sustaining attention of the international community. However, the upcoming elections in Guinea-Bissau open the perspective of a renewed engagement of the international community and an increased coordination and resource mobilization role for the configuration. We very much welcome the appointment of a new chair for the Central African Republic configuration, who has taken on his difficult task with great dynamism. The appointment of a new transitional government paves the way for increased international support. We are pleased to note that the chair, Ambassador Lulitschke, has identified a number of important priority areas in cooperation with the authorities around which to coordinate and mobilize the international community. Mr. President, the European Union welcomes the organization of the first ever PBC annual session on 23rd June around the theme Sustainable Support for Peacebuilding, the Domestic and International Aspects, and will participate at an appropriate level. As the concept note indicates, resource mobilization needs to be addressed both in its national and international components with due consideration for the principle of national ownership and the fundamental objective of providing sustainable support to improve the lives of the affected population. This leads me to my concluding part and the most important aspect of peace building: inclusive national ownership. Peace building will only succeed if it is homegrown and nationally led, taking into account the needs and aspirations of the entire population of a country. Our duty as the international community includes supporting a sustained focus and attention on peace and state-building goals while aligning behind nationally owned strategies. In this way, our political accompaniment should support genuine commitment by the national authorities to address the root causes of instability and to fulfill their obligations to their populations. It is equally important to continue to ensure ownership and political will of all members of the configurations. This is why we see the New Deal and its national compacts as useful instruments of support, dialogue, and engagement. They can be helpful to complement the conclusion of a new social contract. The EU looks forward to the final report of the independent review of the Peacebuilding Fund and the next Peacebuilding Fund annual stakeholders meeting scheduled for June of this year. Mr. President, I would like to extend my gratitude to the former chair of the Peacebuilding Commission, Ambassador Vladimir Drobnyak, whom I would like to thank for his great commitment. We also look forward to working hand in hand with the new chair, Ambassador Antonio Patriota, the PBC membership, the Peacebuilding Support Office, to move things forward. We stand ready to continue to support the efforts of the UN in all peacebuilding activities. This includes supporting and ensuring that the peacebuilding architecture can work in a coordinated manner with the United Nations system and to live up to the expectations which accompanied its establishment. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
I'd like to thank the representative of the European Union for a statement, and now I give the floor to the ambassador and permanent representative of India.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We thank the Peacebuilding Commission for its report A/68/27729. On its seventh session. We also thank the Secretary General for his report A/68/722 on the Peace Building Fund. Mr. Chairman, we would like to take this opportunity to outline what we feel should be some of the important principles that guide peace building. This would allow us to better address the work done by the Peace Building Commission during its seventh session. Peace building is important. It is necessary to rebuild institutions and infrastructure in nations torn by civil war if we want to solidify peace and avoid a relapse into conflict. A certain amount of external guidance is implicit in peace building, but it should not be at the cost of local ownership and agenda. It is because of this that the GA Resolution 60/180 establishing the Peace Building Commission affirms that it is the primary responsibility of national governments of countries emerging from conflict to identify priorities and strategies for peace building in order to ensure national ownership. The external footprint should be light to avoid any outcomes of neocolonialism or humanitarian intervention. We would also add that the agenda of the Peace Building Commission should only have countries on which a reference has been received from the Security Council or when the consent of the concerned member state is explicit. There should not be any deviation from this cardinal principle. Mr. Chairman, turning to disarmament, demobilization, and integration, we all recognize that demobilized fighters will tend to return to a life of violence if they do not find legitimate livelihood. The United Nations needs to go beyond short-term fixes and address the long-term socioeconomic development of the host country. Poverty and lack of opportunity pose some of the most formidable barriers to sustainable peace. In this regard, the community-based approach is important to facilitate economic and social reintegration of ex-combatants and avoid resentment towards them. These activities need to be long-term in nature. Quick impact projects are good, but they cannot substitute the funding gap between the demobilization and reintegration. Establishment and maintenance of public order is also important. A security vacuum after a peace agreement is dangerous as it would immediately lead to criminal activity. The focus, however, should be on what is doable. Given scarcity of resources, the priority should be on ensuring impartiality in recruitment, vetting of new recruits and training, instead of seeking to make cultural change a central aspect of police reform. The rule of law is also important as consolidation of peace cannot be achieved unless the population is confident that the redressal of their grievances can be obtained. Judicial systems are highly culture-specific, and given the diversity of customary or tribal dispute settlement mechanisms, there can be no generic recipe for promoting the rule of law. Imposition of external legal standards would only create resistance and generate a pushback from the host society. Peace building needs to integrate indigenous and informal justice mechanisms into judicial reforms instead of viewing them as being incompatible with Western liberal values. In some post-conflict societies, the bulk of disputes are handled through customary law. In such situations, allocation of scarce resources to formal institutions would be wasteful if these institutions have little to do with the realities of the population. Mr. Chairman, the report of the Peace Building Commission that we have before us refers to integration of peacekeeping and peace building as being critical for achieving durable peace and stability. There is also a reference to supporting an integrated approach to multidimensional peace building. However, in our view, it is important to recognize that humanitarian actors, development actors, other peace builders, and peacekeepers all have different tasks and priorities. We would therefore suggest that form follow function. In other words, actions should be integrated if and to the degree they need to be to build sustainable peace. The report of the Peacebuilding Commission suggests that the advantage of the Commission in the area of resource mobilization does not lie in fund raising. The report of the Secretary General on the Peacebuilding Fund also informs us that contributions to the fund in 2013 were only $41 million as opposed to the target of an annual allocation of $100 million. This, we must admit, is somewhat disappointing. One of the primary objectives for establishing the Peacebuilding Commission was to ensure predictable financing for early recovery activities. Mr. Chairman, we would like to underline that peace building is an area to which we attach importance. This Peace Building Commission is, however, a relatively new body, and it would be difficult for us to come to the conclusion that its utility stands proven. We have already referred in our statement today to several important systemic issues that need to be reviewed and redressed, including how to ensure sustainable financing for the work of the Peace Building Commission. It is in this context that my delegation will participate actively in the 69th General Assembly session in a multilateral review of the functioning of the Peacebuilding Commission and submit this review to our leaders for their guidance during the 70th anniversary summit of the United Nations to be held in 2015. I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I would like to thank the Permanent Representative Center for India for a statement, and now I give the floor to the distinguished representative of Nigeria.
Mr. President, I wish to thank you for convening this important joint debate on the annual report of the PBC and the Secretary General's report on the Peace Building Fund. My delegation is grateful to the Secretary General for his report on the PBC Fund and to His Excellency, the Permanent Representative of Brazil and Chair of the PBC, for his statement and for his committed leadership of the PBC. I also thank the Permanent Representative of Croatia, the former chair of the PBC, for a statement that provides some critical perspectives on the activities of the PBC on its seventh session. Nigeria would like to express appreciation to the chairs of the various country-specific configurations. I congratulate the permanent representative for Morocco on his election as chair of the Central African Republic Configuration and for the good work he has been doing since then. I thank the Peace Building Support Office for their ongoing efforts in supporting the work of the PBC. The example of Sierra Leone is a testimony of the good work of everybody involved in the PBC. Nigeria associates itself with the statement of the non-aligned group delivered by the permanent representative of Tunisia to the United Nations. Mr. President, Today's debate offers another opportunity for member states to assess progress made and review the challenges to our collective effort to sustain and support peace and socio-economic development in the countries emerging from conflict. In this regard, Nigeria has noted with satisfaction that the 2013 report provided useful insights into the work of the PBC, particularly in the implementation of the 2010 review recommendations on the challenges confronting the Commission and some suggestions to address these challenges. It is delightful to note from the report that there is an emerging partnership between the PBSO and the Dag Hammarskjöld Foundation aimed at supporting the Commission's consideration of a number of policy-related work streams. We agree with the report on the need to further explore ways to enhance the sense of collective responsibility for the objectives of the Commission and the countries in its agenda, especially in the field. As indicated in the report, periodic and situation-specific stocktaking should continue in order to identify additional areas of good practice and to help address areas requiring further improvement. Howbeit, we like to add our views to some of the issues raised in the report and underline few matters of interest. The PBC has been a rallying point for key stakeholders in the work of peace building and marshalling available resources by galvanizing political support to countries on its agenda and by coordinating relevant actors within and outside the UN system in the promotion of peace building objectives. The PBC has continued to focus the attention of the international community to the political and socio-economic challenges in countries under its mandate. Mr. President, in spite of all this, the recent development in the Central African Republic and South Sudan have again underscored the very fact that peace building is not a linear progressive process. It is a multifaceted and an all-encompassing initiative that must also focus proactively to engender sustainable peace. There is the need for a more robust international community's support for disarmament, the mobilization and reintegration efforts for the countries on the PBC agenda, while bearing in mind that the primary responsibility for peace-building efforts rests squarely on relevant governments. The strengthening of their capacities constitutes the foundation for their successes in this regard. Therefore, members of the PBC have individual duty and collective responsibility to support countries on the agenda of the PBC. We believe that expression of support for the concerned countries must move beyond mere proclamations to specific action, which must be result-oriented, and it could be reflected through financial contributions or by sharing experiences. In this connection, Nigeria, through its technical aid corps, offers to place its expertise on a framework for South-South cooperation to support the countries on the PBC agenda for their civilian capacity building requirements. We call on member states to equally forge more effective partnerships with the concerned countries by assisting their governments in building their national capacities. We should initiate and support all efforts aimed at assuring that national governments drive the process, while we emphasize the need for adherence to crucial elements such as credibility, accountability, effectiveness, and responsibility. Mr. President, Nigeria is looking forward to the first ever annual session of the PBC to be held in June this year. Consequently, we would like to stress some issues as food for thought ahead of the session. First, in view of the fact that much still needs to be done in order to make optimal use of the PBC instrument, the session should consider ways and means by which the PBC mandates can be strengthened to attain that objective. We must continue to work to ensure that the Commission remains central and key to the socio-political development of post-conflict states and that it continues to occupy its rightful place in the UN system. Second, we noted in the PBC report that the Commission has recognized the complementarity of the work streams on the role of the membership and relations with United Nations principal organs. However, we must stress the need for an improvement on the coordination, the coherence, and the clear delineation of responsibilities between key stakeholders in the UN peacebuilding architecture so as to prevent duplication of efforts and maximize output. In this regard, the PBC should explore ways of intensifying its efforts to strengthen inter-institutional cooperation and partnership with all relevant stakeholders, including the principal organs of the United Nations. Third, we should explore ways of mobilizing support for long-term political and social-economic dimensions of peace building from the sub-regions and from international partners. Mr. President, there cannot be any meaningful peace-building exercise without sufficient funding. For this reason, we commend member states and other donors for their financial contributions, as reported by the Secretary General on the activities of the PBC in 2013. We call for a closer working relationship between the PBC and the PBF. Nigeria's commitment to UN's peace-building efforts is not in doubt. We have stood in the front line of global peacekeeping and peace-building efforts, especially by standing by the UN in all its peace ventures, including being a member of the PBC organizational community since its inception and a member of all the country-specific configurations of the PBC. We have been making remarkable contributions to the pursuit and sustenance of peace and security within the West African subregion and the Sahel. Today, we reiterate this abiding commitment to the peaceful settlement of conflicts, sustainable peace, and development in Africa and beyond. Mr. President, I thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of Nigeria for his statement, and now I give the floor to the ambassador and joint permanent representative of Italy. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Mr. President, Italy aligns itself to the statement of the European Union and welcomes the presentation of the report of the Peace Building Commission on its seventh session and of the report of the Secretary General of Peace Building Fund. We recognize the importance of the Union's strategic approach to the core function of the Commission, advocacy, resource mobilization, and coherence forging, and we praise the Commission for the integration of gender dimension throughout its work. We welcome the transition process in Sierra Leone, and we support the efforts of its people and of its government to address the challenge of development and transformation through the implementation of the Agenda for Prosperity. On the other side, we are deeply concerned by the worrisome news coming from Central African Republic, which relapsed into conflicts, even if it had been one, it had been on the Commission agenda for the past 6 years. Mr. President, does the resurgent violence in Central African Republic demonstrate the futility of the peace-building approach? We do not believe so, in as much as we do not believe that the success of Sierra Leone means that the post-conflict building is the panacea for all ills. On this regard, I'd like to quote the Secretary General Doug Hammarskjöld, who wisely said, quote, the pursuit of peace and progress cannot end in a few years in either victory or defeat. The pursuit of peace and progress with its trials and its errors, its success and its setback can never be relaxed and never abandoned, end of quote. These powerful and effective words resonate with the analysis of Deputy Secretary General Jan Eliasson, who declared last week in the Security Council that, in the face of unpredictable environment and of the great risk involved in peace building, the international community must always be prepared to renew its engagement and to adapt its approach to the situation on the ground. Mr. President, today Italy is at the forefront of the international effort to develop, strengthen, and adapt the concept of peace building in accordance with the paramount principle of national ownership. As recently as last month, the Sant'Anna School of Superior Studies, one of the major academic institutions in Italy based in Pisa, organized in Somaliland a high-level course to confront with local authorities on the role of civilian personnel in peacebuilding. Moreover, Italy's engagement in the matter is centered on a clear priority, the empowerment of women. According to Secretary General Brutus Boutros Ghali, the ultimate aim of peacebuilding is to address, and I quote, the deepest causes of conflict, economic despair, social injustice, and political oppression, end of quote. Italy strongly believes that the transformative power of women and girls, economic, social, and political empowerment, is key to tackle this challenge and essential to promote the security, stability, and development of societies emerging from armed conflicts. That is why in 2013 we co-sponsored the Security Council Resolution 2122 on women, peace, and security, which focuses on women leadership and participation in peace building and on the gender dimension of peace process and conflict resolution. Mr. President, our expertise in post-conflict peace building has deep and evocative roots in our national history. From the ruins of the Second World War and from the desolation of a civil war, Italy managed to heal its wounds, rise as a democratic and one of the most prosperous countries in the world. Moreover, Italy was one of the six inter countries that which only few years after the end of the devastating war, had the forward-looking courage to invest in the European integration process, and therefore laid the foundations of the European Union, the treaties was signed in Rome, an organization that today counts 28 members and has delivered more than half a century of peace, stability, and well-being to the people of Europe. It is therefore for all this reason, in the spirit of service, that Italy present its candidature to organize the National Committee for the period 2015-2016. We are confident that given our history, our sustained engagement, and our contribution to peacekeeping and peacebuilding up to date, Italy can provide a marked contribution to the work of the Commission. Muchísimas gracias ancora, señor presidente.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I'd like to thank the permanent representative of Italy for his statement, and now I give the floor to the ambassador and permanent representative of Sweden.
Mr. President, let me start by thanking the former PBC chair, Ambassador Drobniak, as well as the current chair, Ambassador Patriota, for their statements this morning and for their commitment. Peace building is at the very core of the UN mandate, and all parts of the UN system must contribute to this important undertaking. Sweden welcomes this opportunity to discuss peace building issues in the General Assembly and would like to highlight a few specific topics. First, in regard to the 2015 peace building review, we would like to reiterate our view that this exercise should be broad and comprehensive in its nature. The most important added value of the review is to have a frank discussion on how the system as a whole can become more effective when addressing peace building at the country level. In that regard, the review should involve all stakeholders, ranging from governments and the whole UN system to civil society and think tanks and other relevant actors that can contribute. There are, for example, very important and valuable experiences to be drawn from the implementation at country level of the New Deal for Engagement in Fragile States and from the International Dialogue for Peace Building and State Building. This approach would also reflect the importance of inclusive processes in actual peace building in the field. The review should be broad in the sense that it should look at the whole UN system's efforts in peace building, its strengths, and its weaknesses over the past 5 to 10 years. The core peace-building architecture as we know it, PBC, PBF, and PBSO, is of course at the center of such an endeavor. However, many other actors play a crucial operational role at the country level, such as UN funds, programs, specialized agencies, but also other departments within the UN Secretariat. In particular, I would like to mention the importance of UNDP focusing attention and resources on key peace-building issues. All activities and programs in fragile states, regardless of who lead them, must be based on a thorough conflict analysis guiding program planning, design, implementation, and follow-up of results. Thus, let us not miss this opportunity to give the review a broad mandate and a broad scope and terms of reference. In the annual report before us, one action point is that the PBSO shall consult within the UN system and get back to the PBC with the result of this consultation. We would urge the PBSO to solicit views on the whole of the UN efforts on peace building and not merely their views on the PBC, PBSO, and PBF. This brings me to my second and closely related point, UN coherence. Given the core mandate of UN peacebuilding efforts to contribute to closing the gap between development, peace, and security, to propose integrated strategies for post-conflict peacebuilding and recovery, and to facilitate transition efforts at large, coherence is, without doubt, one of the success factors, but also one of the key challenges facing the UN. The establishment of the global focal point for rule of law is a welcome step in this direction. The challenge and real test for the added value of the global focal point will be joint planning and implementation at country level. In a broader sense, however, genuine coherence will only take place when the whole UN system, both its political representatives and various development players in a country, behave in a coherent, aligned, and harmonized way. As an illustration, when a mission is drawing down, it is essential that the UN country team steps up to maintain focus on key issues and resources of importance for sustainable peace and state building, both among donors and in the host government. That is, again, why the review of the UN peacebuilding activities should be broad and engage all actors operating at country level, not only the more narrow core of the peacebuilding architecture. Third point, on the PBF, we welcome the increased total support to the fund during 2013 over 2012, and Sweden continues to be a top donor. That also comes with a responsibility to support a more effective and efficient use of the funds. We are actively taking part in those discussions. The PBF certainly has a strategic niche, and few other donors are present in a country so shortly after a conflict. As a response to the request of many donors, the fund has made significant advances in regard to monitoring and evaluation, which Sweden welcomes. One area for further improvement is gender equality. We believe the fund can do more to focus on women as peace builders and agents of change. Compared to other actors, the PBF has been better at allocating resources to women's empowerment. However, still more could be done in this field. Finally, to echo my own previous comment on coherence, PBF has a great potential to become an effective tool for UN integration and UN acting as one in conflict-affected and fragile countries. This is an area that could be further strengthened and should also be of central part of the peace-building review. I thank you very much, Mr. President.
Distinguished representative of Sweden, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Slovakia. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, at the outset, I would like to thank you for convening today's important session. It is a great opportunity for all of us to discuss and share views concerning of the annual report of the UN Peacebuilding Commission and the UN Peacebuilding Fund. Slovakia fully aligns itself with the statement delivered by the European Union earlier. Nevertheless, I wish to make few additional remarks in my national capacity. But before that, I would like to appreciate the work, leadership, and dedication of former Chair, His Excellency Mr. Vladimir Drobnjak, PR of Croatia,
and congratulate the new chair, His Excellency Antonio Patriota, PR of Brazil. Mr. President, Slovakia attaches great importance to the work and goals of the UN Peacebuilding Commission. We fully support its continuous efforts aimed at bringing about durable peace and stability to many nations around the world and to help avoiding a relapse of a conflict. At the same time, we are fully aware that peacebuilding is a complex process, requiring time and resources. It consists of various different components and layers which are mutually interconnected and interlocked. Seldom one country has the ability and capacity to contribute to the support and development of all peacebuilding instruments and mechanisms. Hence, specialization and thematic focus of member states become an added value towards the overall success of the entire project of peacebuilding. For some years now, Slovakia has been pursuing security sector reform as one of the key elements of post-conflict rebuilding and stabilization. After the release of the second United Nations Secretary General's report on SSR in August 2013, Slovakia, as the co-chair of the Group of Friends of SSR, together with South Africa and the UN, organized several events on different levels with the aim of making the UN approach to this holistic instrument for peace and security more effective. The direct experience from the field, including from many UN peace missions and operations in post-conflict countries, clearly shows that a nationally led and inclusive SSR process, based on true partnerships in implementing the projects and regional engagement, can progressively deal with the root causes of insecurity and fragility and create an enabling environment for sustainable development to take place. With this goal in mind, Slovakia made its first contribution of $40,000 to a UN pooled fund administered by the Multi-Partner Trust Fund Office. Slovakia hence became the 55th financial contribution to the UN Peacebuilding Fund. And this is in line with our commitment to financially reinforce UNDP projects in post-conflict countries and to strengthen peacebuilding efforts, particularly around the security sector reform. Mr. President, in conclusion, I wish to confirm the continuing support of Slovakia to the UN peacebuilding activities and architecture, as well as our readiness for close coordination and cooperation in the area of common interests with all member states. I thank you for your attention.
I thank the distinguished representative of Slovakia. And I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Spain.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Spain fully aligns itself with the statement delivered by the delegation of the European Union and wishes to make the following contributions. The maintenance of international peace and security is a fundamental goal of the United Nations. However, on many occasions, we have seen that countries, states, re-enter conflicts that recently took place. In peacebuilding, the Peacebuilding Commission has an absolutely fundamental role to play. Spain has actively supported the work of the Peacebuilding Commission. We are the eighth largest contributor to the Peacebuilding Fund, and we've been members of the organizational committee for 8 years now, the past 4 years, as main contributors. Furthermore, we are members of all the country-specific configurations. Mr. President, the report of the seventh session of the Commission is an excellent basis to face up to the revision of the architecture of the Peacebuilding Commission in 2015. Here we'd like to repeat some of the ideas which have been raised by ambassadors who spoke before me. The Commission is has an excellent position on the ground, which we should take benefit of, and we wish to insist on the importance of national ownership. In this regard, it is absolutely key to involve countries that are on the Commission's agenda. Without their perspectives, without their vision, the work of the Commission will fail, as has been highlighted by the President of the Peacebuilding Commission. It is fundamental to work more on with regional organizations, sub-regional organizations. Furthermore, the Peacebuilding Commission is in an ideal position to work with the other major bodies of the United Nations, especially with the Security Council and the General Assembly. And it also has a privileged position to maintain an intense relationship with the Special Representative, the Secretary General. Indeed, it is a question of combining efforts and lessons learned and share our analyses. Mr. President, lasting peace necessarily depends on enhancing the rule of law in all its dimensions. The international community must support countries which have gone through recent conflicts in developing their civilian capacities and in institution building. Also, it's crucial to promote inclusive economic growth and job creation. Furthermore, as a few moments ago was said by the Swedish ambassador, women must occupy a central role in the process of peace building, and therefore we must remove those obstacles that impede their full participation in national reconstruction. Mr. President, Spain is working alongside with the other member states in the preparation of the high-level meeting, which will take place on the 23rd of June next. And we will make a contribution in terms of our experience and ideas for the future. For many years, Spain has supported the peace-building processes. We have supported capacity building in the justice and security sectors, putting into practice training programs and the exchange of best practices. Furthermore, in accordance with the priorities identified by the national actors, we hope to share our experiences and the lessons we have learned during these processes, as in this high-level meeting next June, and therefore, once again, we are demonstrating our strong commitment with the Peacebuilding Commission. Thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of Spain, and I now call on the distinguished representative of Turkey. The floor is yours.
Mr. President, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, at the outset, I would like to thank you for your opening statement. I would also like to thank the former and current chairs of the Peacebuilding Commission, permanent representatives of Croatia and Brazil, Excellencies Mr. Vladimir Dubrovniak and Mr. Antonio de Aguiar Patriota for their briefing. Mr. President, today peacebuilding has become an integral and essential part of international support to a conflicted country. Thanks to the considerable endeavors within the UN system in recent years, we have now a better understanding and a developed UN architecture regarding peacebuilding efforts. Mr. President, peacebuilding initiatives and tasks have been becoming more diverse and complicated. It covers wide-ranging activities from justice to economic recovery, from security sector to women's participation in peacebuilding processes. In such a huge area of cooperation, we believe that the UN plays a central role in coordination, planning, and ensuring coherence among international actors. Therefore, the UN peacebuilding architecture must be constantly updated and improved to meet today's requirements. In that regard, we are looking forward to the comprehensive review of the UN peacebuilding architecture in 2015. Mr. President, Peacebuilding Commission has a special place in this architecture. Its strength lies in its member state-driven approach. It can address the needs and requests of post-conflict member states by the will and support of its member states. In this vein, PBC's potential must be better tapped. The coordination and communication with relevant UN bodies, such as General Assembly, Security Council, and ECOSOC, must be improved. With this understanding, we welcome the Security Council briefing on post-conflict peace building that took place on 19th of March. The annual session of the PBC, which will be held in June this year, is another important opportunity to better identify how to make the PBC more effective, both in terms of its communication with the relevant UN bodies and with the countries it deals with. Mr. President, another important tool of the UN peacebuilding efforts is the Peacebuilding Fund. We believe that the fund is a vital instrument for the international community and conflict-affected countries. In our common efforts to provide timely and focused attention to specific needs. Turkey is a regular contributor of the fund, and we welcome the fact that the fund's donor base has been improving in recent years, as the Secretary General's report indicates. We also commend the work of the Peacebuilding Support Office under the leadership of Assistant Secretary General Mr. Judy Chang Hopkins. The office is a vital complementary element of the UN peacebuilding architecture, which ensures coherence, timely delivery of support, and coordination. Mr. President, on its part, Turkey has been engaged in preventive diplomacy, peacemaking, peacekeeping, and post-conflict peace-building efforts, which are closely interlinked. It is essential to use them within a coherent and strategic framework. Together with Finland and the Group of Friends of Mediation, we have been working on how to further the concept of mediation both within the UN and beyond. In our view, mediation is an effective cross-cutting tool that is consent-based and applied to all stages of the conflict cycle. We regard mediation and facilitation as the most cost-effective and efficient ways of preventing and resolving conflicts and thus saving precious lives. Furthermore, we provide large-scale peace-building support to countries like Afghanistan and Somalia. Turkey also actively supports multilateral peace-building platforms. In addition to our financial contribution to the Peace-Building Fund, which I mentioned previously, we are actively engaged in the work of the PBC with our membership to four of the six country-specific configurations. Mr. President, before concluding, I would like to emphasize that for peace-building efforts to succeed, affected countries must take the lead and ownership in determining their futures and work with the international community to ensure inclusivity of the process. I thank you, Mr. President.
The distinguished representative of Turkey, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Malaysia.
Mr. President, at the outset, I would like to take this opportunity to thank you for convening this important annual debate. Let me also congratulate Ambassador Patriota of Brazil on his election as chair of the Peacebuilding Commission for its 8th session. I would also like to express my delegation's appreciation to Ambassador Drobnjak of Croatia for his excellent leadership and chairmanship of the PBC last year. At this juncture, Malaysia wishes to associate itself with the statement delivered by Tunisia on behalf of the non-aligned movement. My delegation would also like to commend the Peacebuilding Support Office in the preparation of the reports of the Secretary General of the PBC in its 7th session, as contained in document A/68/729, S/2104/67, and the Peace Building Fund as contained in document A/68/722. Malaysia welcomes the insights, findings and conclusions as reflected in the two reports. In this regard, my delegation would like to express our views on some of the pertinent findings contained in the reports. Mr. President, Malaysia has always been a staunch believer that peace building is an important aspect in the work of the United Nations in the maintenance of international peace and security. The reports of the Secretary General play an important role in guiding us on the work of the PBC in post-conflict reconstruction in countries which are emerging from conflict. My delegation concurs with the report on the need for continued advocacy, political accompaniment, resource mobilization, and forging coherent as the principal activities of the PBC. Despite the various progress made by the PBC in its work, my delegation believes that there is room for improvement for the PBC to create awareness and understanding of the concept of peace building. In this regard, my delegation welcomes the decision to convene an annual session of the PBC. The annual session is an opportunity for member states to realign the perception of the international community towards the PBC and its work. While the annual session would enable closer interaction and engagement among the relevant stakeholders in New York, it also presents the prospect to identify important issues and challenges of member states and other international organizations in post-conflict reconstruction. Such interactions and engagements in different teams would bring about awareness and comprehensive understanding of peace building in preventing countries from relapsing into conflict. Malaysia has always believed that economic revitalization is crucial in supporting countries emerging from conflict. On this, attracting investment would require effective legal framework to protect the concessions of international investors and the rights of the local community. We have supported efforts to revitalize the economy of Liberia through the participation of Saim Dabi. Saim Dabi employs a total of 3,800 Liberian workers within its plantation estate. The company continues to display its social responsibility through engagements with various stakeholders, namely the government of Liberia, the local community, non-governmental organizations, including Green Advocate, and other relevant international partners. Part and parcel of its corporate social responsibility is to strengthen relations with the local community. The company has also embarked on supporting the community's basic needs, including building roads, hospitals, schools, and providing employment. While Saim Dabi has continued to be supportive of economic revitalization efforts in Liberia, it has also experienced various challenges in the country. My delegation is of the view that more work has to be done in harmonizing local land laws in order to protect both international corporations and the local community. We believe that the PBC is well placed to provide the necessary advice on policy development and legal framework formulation to strengthen administration and rule of law. At the same time, the work of UN Habitat and the Land Commission on Land Law and Land Dispute Resolution Mechanism in Liberia has to be commended. My delegation is confident that with due attention and continued consultation with relevant stakeholders, Liberia is on the right track to have a more streamlined land law that would attract and facilitate investment into the country. The report of the PBC continues to highlight the importance of resource mobilization in supporting peace-building activities. In this connection, my delegation underscores the significance of partnerships with international financial institutions and regional development banks in generating the financial resources needed to sustain peace-building efforts. Notwithstanding that, Malaysia is of the view that developing revenue-generating capacity of countries in transition is equally important. As such, we believe the PBC should continue to promote credible strategies in the strengthening of governance and public administration of countries in transition with a view to enhance revenue generation. In a similar vein, a greater synergy is also needed between the PBC and the PBF. The PBF's role in 2013 is commendable, as reflected in the report. Its capital intervention to 14 countries with the disbursement of US $87.6 million only testify to the important role of the fund in providing immediate financial interventions to countries in transition. Such immediate interventions have made possible for peace and stability to prevail in conflict situations. Despite that, my delegation would like to see a better alignment of the activities of the fund with those activities of the PBC. Mr. President, my delegation also believes that participation and inclusivity of member states in the work of the PBC is essential. We underscore the important role played by the chairs of the PBC and the configurations to facilitate work with countries under the Commission's agenda. My delegation is of the view that such effort remains important in linking PBC, which is based in New York, and the countries in transition. Nevertheless, we also believe that the role of resident embassies of the PBC's member states is an underexplored resource of the PBC. We wish to emphasize that discussion on this matter should continue with the aim of elevating the role of resident embassies in the field. Embassies can support the PBC during field visits and oversee the implementation of the agreement with the host country. In conclusion, my delegation is of the opinion that the work of the PBC and the PBF has become increasingly challenging with the evolving scenarios in international peace and security. In this regard, Malaysia calls for greater political and financial commitment from member states to support the work of the PBC and the PBF. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Malaysia, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Japan.
Mr. President, it is my great pleasure to address the General Assembly on the occasion of the discussion on the report of the Peace Building Commission on its seventh session, A68729, and the report of the Secretary General on the Peace Building Fund, A68722. Mr. President, first of all, I would like to express our gratitude to Ambassador Drobniak, former chair of the PBC, for his stewardship of the work of the PBC during 2013. The PBC report reflects on the main functions and work of the Commission while outlining efforts made in implementing the agenda going forward adopted in its previous report. Japan welcomes progress made in a number of areas that demonstrate the added value of the PBC and further strengthen its impact on the ground. These progress includes strengthening the PBC's advisory role to Security Council, documenting established working methods in a compendium, and developing a new partnership with the Mano River Union. Mr. President, as the chair of the Working Group on Lessons Learned of the PBC, Japan convened three meetings last year that were intended to strengthen the PBC's core functions, as well as address peace-building thematic issues designated for 2013. In these meetings, the working group shed light on practical approaches for the Commission in supporting the organization of donor-partner conferences, assisting the generation of domestic resources to fund critical peace-building priorities, and pushing forward gender-responsive national reconciliation. The discussions in these meetings help to bring a sharper focus on the strength as well as the potential of the Commission. The working group also facilitated a more efficient and effective engagement of the PBC vis-a-vis countries on its agenda and other UN and non-UN entities. Needless to say, these efforts must be continued and further strengthened so that the Commission can best prepare for the 2015 review of the UN peacebuilding architecture. Japan hopes that the activities of the working group will contribute to the preparation of the review by drawing practical lessons for country-specific configurations and offering a continuous platform for cross-learning among them. In this regard, at the formal meeting of the PBC's organizational committee held on 29 January, Japan proposed lessons learned on transition and exit of UN missions as the theme for the 2014 Working Group Lessons Learned activities. By drawing on the experience of countries where UN missions transitioning or downsizing are taking place, or non-PBC agenda states are in post-transition, the working group will tackle how the PBC can best address the need for a coordinated, coherent, and integrated approach to post-conflict peace building and reconciliation. Japan hopes to work closely with the current chair of the PBC, Ambassador Patriota, and the chairs of the country-specific configurations. Mr. President, a very important element in the UN peacekeeping activities, peace-building activities, is the Peace-Building Fund. As such, Japan welcomes the report of the Secretary General on the Peace-Building Fund. This month, we made an additional contribution of $10 million to the PBF, which brings Japan's total contribution to the fund to $42.5 million. This contribution is an expression of Japan's firm commitment to peace building and our high expectations of the fund. Mr. President, as stated in the Secretary General's report, the activities of the Peace Building Fund achieved significant progress both in terms of quantity and quality. We expect the PBF to further enhance cooperation and coordination among relevant stakeholders in host countries through the Joint Steering Committee. On the other hand, there is still room for the fund to strengthen its support for gender issues. We expect the Peacebuilding Fund to enhance its efforts in mainstreaming gender equality in peacebuilding by strengthening the gender focus of its programs. Mr. President, 2014 will be a crucial year for the PBF. The periodic review is on its way, and a new business plan for the next 3 years is to be formulated. We expect that the review of its business model, its strategic management, and its strategic positioning will provide the fund an excellent opportunity to enhance its unique characteristics, including its speed, flexibility, catalytic function, and ability to enhance national ownership. Mr. President, the PBC and the PBF, with the support of the Peacebuilding Support Office, continues to be at the center of the UN peacebuilding architecture. In this regard, Japan appreciates the continuous support provided by the PBSO. Japan remains strongly committed to peacebuilding and to the activities of the PBC and the PBF. We look forward to achieving this year's goals. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Japan, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Russian Federation.
Thank you, Mr. President. We see peace-building assistance as one of the key factors for effective settlement of conflicts and prevention of their recurrence. And here we believe that success and the long-term nature of the results of such assistance reside in following the principle of national responsibility of states in determining peace-building priorities and oversight over their practical implementation by national bodies representing the interests of all of society. A particular role in coordinating international efforts on post-conflict restoration, of course, belongs to the UN. This work requires coordinated efforts of member states, UN funds and programs, the Secretariat, regional organizations, international financial institutions. We must note that international assistance for peace building remains fragmentary. The lack of a coordinated division of labor leads to duplication of peace building efforts, an unrational use and dispersal of existing resources and funds. In this regard, it's important that all those agencies that are involved in this work should work strictly within their mandates and established normative frameworks. It's obvious that in order to derive practical results, we need further efforts in constructing the peace-building architecture both within the organization and at the country level. Mr. President, the Russian Federation supports the work of the PBC as one of the central intergovernmental bodies in coordinating peace-building assistance. We see its added value in its provision of quality advice to the Security Council upon its request on countries which are on the agenda of both bodies. We believe that the Commission, as part of its mandate, must make a contribution as well in handling important cross-cutting issues having to do with peace building, having to do with the entire UN system, and requiring a multifaceted discussion with member states within the main bodies of the UN. Up to now, the PBC has accumulated a substantive experience of direct dialogue with national governments on the basis of mutual oversight of compliance, as well as coordination of efforts of international players in implementing the priorities registered by post-conflict countries. The stabilization of the situation in Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Burundi could serve as positive examples. We need to build on those successes, including through further security sector reform, ensuring the progressive socioeconomic development, fighting poverty and unemployment. A particular role here must be played by UN funds and programs. Here, the experience of Guinea-Bissau and CAR require us to do a thorough analysis of peace-building efforts, focusing on the reasons why these efforts have not yielded the expected results and, in some cases, why they were unable to keep the situation from relapsing into a new hot phase. Mr. President, with our overall positive assessment of the work of the Commission for 2013, we'd like to express our appreciation to the Perm Rep of Croatia, Ambassador Drobnjak, for the work that he's done as chair of the PBC, and to wish the new chair of the Commission, the Perm Rep of Brazil, Ambassador Patriota, success in this endeavor. The final report's empirical analysis of the Commission's work, having to do with its functions in drawing attention to countries on the agenda, in mobilizing resources, and in increasing coherence, once again proves that practical success in implementation in each specific country situation can be achieved only with a mutually complementary, comprehensive, and strategic approach. We share the conclusions of the Commission regarding the priority of support of national peace-building efforts, of the vital need to improve coordination in the Commission and with the main bodies of the organization, and also in seeking a more active involvement in handling specific mandates of regional and sub-regional political and financial agencies. All of this with correct consideration of lessons learned, best practices, and focusing on resolving the root causes of conflicts. All of this will increase, in our viewpoint, the added value, the effectiveness, and sustainability of the results of the Commission's work. This year's planned events, including the first annual session and the start of preparations for the upcoming 2015 review year, to a large extent will help strengthen the Commission as an intergovernmental body playing a central role in the peace-building architecture of the UN. Mr. President, one of the most important components of the peace-building architecture remains the PBF. This mechanism for emergency financing, helping attract long-term resources for restoration and development, is proving its effectiveness. And based on this, Russia is continuing on an annual basis to contribute to PBF an amount of $2 million, providing assistance through PBF on the basis of programs and projects developed by governments and UN reps, allows us to duly consider the priorities of the receiving country and to ensure their responsible approach to using this support. And here it is important not to hoist countries through the eye of the donor's needle. We continue to believe that there is no alternative to the country principle for apportionment of resources and that it is not acceptable to artificially impose any thematic projects on countries. Prioritizing areas of cooperation must be determined by the governments themselves. Thank you very much.
I thank the distinguished representative of the Russian Federation, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Rwanda.
I would like to thank you, Mr. President, for organizing this meeting. I also thank His Excellency Antonio de Aguirre Patriota, Permanent Representative of Brazil, the Chair of PBC, for his statement. Allow me also to extend my sincere thanks to His Excellency Vladimir Drobnjak, Ambassador and Permanent Representative of Croatia, and former PBC Chair, for his dedication and strong commitment towards the work of the Commission during the year 2013, and for his presentation of the report of the PBC on its seventh session. Rwanda would like to join others to note with appreciation the reports of the Peace Building Commission and Peace Building Fund, respectively, which provide a comprehensive analysis of progress made so far in the implementation of the 2010 review recommendations, as well as challenges the Commission is still facing and the way forward to enhance its value and advisory role. Based on that, I would like to state the following. My delegation highlights the importance of building on the important elements emanating from those reports and the elements from the Security Council briefing and informal interactive dialogues of 25th and 26th April 2013, respectively, that provided an opportunity to exchange opinions on how the United Nations can draw upon the unique composition structure of the PBC and to enhance the Commission's advisory role to its parent organs. It is promising that the Commission has recognized the complementarity of the work streams on the role of the membership and the relations with the United Nations principal organs. We believe that the Commission can only make an impact if it is able to leverage its unique membership structure by bringing political support to its engagement in the field, as well as within intergovernmental fora and with strong advocacy. Furthermore, from within the PBC's unique membership structure, there is a wealth of expertise and experience, as well as financial resources, which Each individual member should be prepared to share and contribute depending on capacity and comparative advantage. Mr. President, linked to its relationship with other entities is the issue of coordination and coherence. We call upon the PBC to maintain mutually reinforcing relations with senior UN leadership in the field. The PBC can bring the political weight of its membership behind the UN leadership at country level, and the UN mission are expected in turn to vigorously pursue and support the agreed priority areas between the PBC and the countries on its agenda. A unity of strategy and clarity regarding the division of labor will help identify opportunities requiring support and challenges demanding timely response. This would help the UN to deliver as one and remain focused on nationally identified priorities in the field and ensure that the UN entities and headquarters and their guidance to field missions is aligned with national peace-building priorities. On resource mobilization, we call for the continued advocacy on behalf of the countries on the agenda with a view to help underscore political and socioeconomic progress and attract broader assistance and/or investments. We are particularly pleased with efforts deployed by country-specific configurations, and particularly we commend the first initiative to conduct assessment mission by the PBC to review its engagement with Sierra Leone in November 2013. We hope that the recommendation of the mission will help the PBC envisage how it could possibly adapt its engagement with the evolving needs of Sierra Leone in light of its agenda for prosperity. We also welcome the Commission's plans to support Guinea-Bissau to complete a full democratic cycle, coordinating security sector reform, and promoting food security and rural development. We also take note of the Commission's pivotal role in supporting the transition from BNUP in Burundi to UN country team by the end of the year, as well as the support to social economic transformation in Liberia. Mr. President, mindful of the positive role of women in post-conflict reconstruction, Rwanda welcomes the Commission's consideration of gender dimension in peace-building activities. We commend the established partnership with the United Nations Entity for Gender Equality, UN Women, to explore and raise awareness of the transformative role of women in post-conflict societies. We are particularly keen to see the Secretary General's commitment to allocating 15% of United Nations managed funds to projects promoting gender equality and women's empowerment materialize. On the Commission working methods, we encourage the Commission to identify and document good practice of the past 9 years, including by encouraging cross-learning among configurations. We hope that the upcoming 2015 review will provide an opportunity to address outstanding issues in the working method of the Commission. We also believe that since 2005, the UN should have been able to identify some good practices and lessons learned on what kinds of intervention make a real difference in the lives of the population of post-conflict countries. The 2015 review should help us to take stock of how the PBC could support an evolving and expanding UN peacebuilding agenda. Turning to the report of the Peacebuilding Fund, we note that there was a significant increase over the 2012 level. We thank the member states and donors that have made this valuable contribution. The PBF is becoming a viable instrument for fast and catalytic peace-building response, which the countries concerned needs the most. We call upon the Secretary General to explore how the fund can invest in encouraging capacity development, including by facilitating the transfer of knowledge and expertise between countries emerging from conflict and countries from the global south. My country stands ready to share knowledge on our post-conflict recovery path since 1994. Rwanda has already provided high-level expertise on a number of issues, including experience and expertise in aid coordination, specialized police capacities, military institutional building, SSR, among other things. In the spirit of South-South cooperation, we are still open to providing such support. I thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of Rwanda and now call on the distinguished representative of China. The floor is yours.
Mr. President, the Chinese delegation wishes to thank you for holding today's meeting. China wishes to thank the permanent representative of Croatia, Ambassador Drobnjak, for introducing the report of the seventh session of the UN United Nations Peacebuilding Commission. Commend the permanent representative of Brazil, Ambassador Patriota, for the work he has done as the chairman of the PBC. We welcome the statement he made at the beginning of today's meeting. The 2005 World Summit took the decision to create the Peacebuilding Commission. This was an important initiative by the United Nations in the field of post-conflict peacebuilding and is of great significance in terms of helping post-conflict countries in carrying out peacebuilding activities. In recent years, PBC has endeavored to implement the relevant mandates by the General Assembly and the Security Council, and has worked actively in terms of coordinating the international assistance to the post-conflict countries in peacebuilding. It has accumulated rich experiences and achieved important results. Worth special mentioning here is that the United Nations has made remarkable achievements in helping East Timor and Sierra Leone in carrying out peace-building activities, enabling these two countries to become the success stories in this field. The international community should be poised to learn useful lessons from these experiences. We believe that in order to further strengthen the post-conflict peace-building activities, it is important to take into account the following aspects. First, consolidating peace and stability is the prerequisite for peace building. In countries just emerged from conflicts, internal situation remains relatively fragile. Therefore, maintaining national security and stability should be regarded as the priority of priorities. The international community should, through peaceful means, including good offices, mediation, and a dialogue, help the countries concerned achieve political transition and a national reconciliation. It is important to help the parties concerned to take into account the long-term interest of their country and people, strengthen communication and coordination, enhance mutual trust, keeping unity, and in a spirit of the mutual accommodation, resolve their differences properly, so as to maintain national security and stability. Second, to speed up economic recovery and development is the basis for peace building. Economic and social underdevelopment is the root cause leading to conflicts. Many post-conflict countries and regions face multiple challenges in terms of economic and infrastructure reconstruction, eliminating poverty, employment, and providing social safeguards. The international community should therefore focus on mobilizing resources, and countries should honor their commitments of assistance in a timely fashion, so as to help host countries achieve speedy economic recovery and reconstruction, enabling the population to enjoy the peace dividends as soon as possible so as to lay a solid foundation for peace process and post-conflict reconstruction. Third, respect for national ownership lies at the heart of peace-building activities. Post-conflict countries bear the primary responsibility for their own peace-building. These countries vary in their histories and prevailing conditions. Therefore, the international communities should fully respect the sovereignty and the will of the countries concerned and help them explore a path to development suitable to their own conditions and fully availing of the advantages they enjoy. And also, it's important, in accordance with the willingness of the countries, help them with their capacity building, focusing on human resources and human resources training. It is important to fully utilize their own human resources and expertise in order to enhance the level of governance. Fourth, international coordination is the guarantee of successful peace building. Peace building involves various issues in the political, security, economic, development, and social fields. Therefore, international organizations should strengthen coordination with the United Nations and its PBC playing a coordinating role in this connection. In November last year, the United Nations, African Union, World Bank, Africa Development Bank joined hands in visiting the Sahel region in an effort to implement the United Nations integrated strategy for the Sahel region. This visit achieved good results. This is a very good practice and should be further continued and expanded. We hope that the United Nations will establish a stable relationship of cooperation with international and regional financial institutions while paying special attention to bring into play the unique advantages enjoyed by regional organizations such as AU and the sub-regional organizations in a joint effort to make sure and working together in order to make sure that peace-building activities yield good results. Mr. President, China supports the peace-building activities in post-conflict countries and has actively participated in the work of the PBC. 2015 will see a quinquennial review of the United Nations Peacekeeping Commission. We hope that this review will help further tap the potential of the PBC, hence enabling it to play an even greater role in the post-conflict peace-building activities. China is ready to work with the international community and play its role in helping post-conflict countries achieve durable peace and sustainable development. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the distinguished representative of China, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Indonesia.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I wish to thank you for convening this meeting. I would also like to thank Ambassador Antonio de Aguay Patriota, Chair of the Peace Building Commission, for his comprehensive statement. Allow me also to commend the work and commitment of previous chair, who is also the new vice chair, Ambassador Vladimir Drobnyak, and all the chairpersons of the six country specific configurations, particularly Ambassador Mohamed Lolitsky of Morocco as the new chair for Central African Republic configuration. My delegation would like also to express its deep appreciation to ASG Judy Chen Hopkins, head of PBSO, deputy head of PBSO, along with their entire team for their hard work and strong commitment in supporting the mandate of PBC and administering the Peace Building Fund, PBF. Indonesia associates itself with the statement delivered earlier by the distinguished representative of Tunisia on behalf of the Non-Aligned Movement Caucus of the PBC. Mr. Chairman, taking forward recommendations from the 2010 review, particularly on the PBC functions of advocacy, sustained attention, resource mobilization, and forging coherence, Indonesia is pleased to welcome the 2013 PBC annual report. We note with appreciation the focus in the report on supporting PBC's working methods, as well as addressing various areas that need further policy reflection. As we know, the PBC was established as an advisory body, but supported by the very potent UN convening capacity. While being recommendatory in nature, the PBC functions in the face of an understandable and ever-present desire for different from different quarters, not least the conflict-affected countries, to make a robust impact. In addition to harnessing support for the particular conflict, recovery and reconstruction imperatives of the six countries, the Commission has, over the years, played a vital role to garner international attention on post-conflict peace-building and try to enable a more coherent efforts among the relevant UN and non-UN actors. However, various challenges remain. The inadequacy of financial and technical resources, along with political support, have been seen as among key reasons behind the Commission's work not being visible clearly. We must all intensify our contribution to help strengthen the PBC's work. Mr. President, allow me to share of Indonesia's views on the future challenges and opportunities, as well as main elements that could contribute to the 2015 peacebuilding review as follows. First, while stressing the importance of nationally owned peacebuilding strategies, we underline the significance of continuity of efforts based on the agenda and recommendations in previous PBC annual reports. Many good points are already identified, and the focus should be on their implementation. Indeed, the effectiveness of PBC will continue to be determined by the results of its concrete actions. In the context of the role of PBC membership with its unique structure, we concur that this is an area of strength which the Commission has yet to fully capitalize to maximize impact. There needs to be deepening of action-oriented interaction among members, and the PBC should continue to encourage them to take up voluntary tasks based on their expertise in support of identified peacebuilding priorities by local population. Second, it is crucial to ensure the coherence of peacekeeping and peacebuilding to prevent the relapse into conflict and build sustainable peace and development. The Security Council Resolution 2086 has underlined the link of multidimensional peacekeeping operations and expressed willingness to make use of the adversary, advocacy, and resource mobilization roles of the PBC in peacebuilding. We hope that the interface between the Security Council and PBC will also translate into greater synergy between peacekeeping and peacebuilding. Third, resource mobilization remains pivotal. Indonesia has underlined a comprehensive approach on it, where, in addition to aid, other revenues of trade and investments are also fully utilized. In this context, Indonesia has facilitated the PBC policy task on the role of private sector in peacebuilding in 2008. We are pleased that the Commission's engagement with private sector to activate economic activity has heightened with numerous welcome initiatives in recent years. Yet there is room to better engage with private sector for peace building. Indonesia supports the efforts by PBC to prioritize activities on resource mobilization, including increased focus to support national efforts on raising resources. As stated in the report, the role of the Commission does not lie in fundraising, but rather in broadening the base and securing the buy-in of traditional and new bilateral and multilateral donors in host countries. Moreover, we believe that the enabling of needed civilian expertise, both through and in partnership with the UN initiative of civilian capacity, could produce greater impact in Commission's work. Fourth, the holding of the first PBC annual session on June 23rd this year as the main substantive and policy guiding forum will be pertinent in improving the Commission's working methods. The session will also serve as an annual broad-based engagement by member states, countries on the agenda, and other relevant stakeholders. Indonesia is pleased to be involved both in facilitating the modalities of the annual session and identifying and discussing overarching theme and sub-themes. We believe that resource mobilization, capacity building, and lessons learned as parts of the main theme will pave the way for practical and concrete actions by the Commission. As relevant government bodies in capitals normally conduct policy and decision-making on peace-building initiatives, we encourage member states to send their relevant capital-based senior officials to engage directly in the one-day annual session in June. We expect that it will not be a business-as-usual exchange, and fruitful discussion and decisions will be made during the session. The holding of the PBC annual session back-to-back with the PBF annual stakeholders meeting will generate opportunities in enhancing relations and synergy between the work of PBC and PBF. We are pleased that the Secretary General report on PBF, as contained in document 722, shows a significant increase in 2013 with a total of US$86.7 million allocated to 14 countries with emphasis on the six PBC agenda countries. Mr. President, regarding the launching of a global review, we would like to underline close consultation with all relevant stakeholders in drafting the next business plan and positioning the fund effectively for the period of 2014-2016. We support the aim of PBC to mobilize replenishment of its annual stakeholders meeting while taking into account the result of the 2013 PBF review. To conclude, Mr. President, we reiterate the key role by the PBC Organizational Committee along with regular intergovernmental dialogues in providing policy guidance to PBF for enhancing its outcome. On its part, Indonesia will continue to contribute actively to help strengthen the work by the UN peacebuilding architecture. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Indonesia, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Portugal.
Mr. President, thank you for having convened today's session on the annual report of the Peace Building Commission and on the Peace Building Fund. Portugal views this debate as particularly pertinent in the context of the upcoming comprehensive 10-year review of the UN peace-building architecture in 2015. Portugal is fully aligned with positions that have been presented by Ambassador Maia Harting on behalf of the European Union. Mr. President, I would like to focus on 4 points. Firstly, we are encouraged by the results of the interaction between the PBC and the other UN bodies. Further strengthening cooperation with these other bodies, including the Security Council, should continue and be intensified. These interactions should not, however, assume a too formal format. Portugal is of the view that the working methods and activities of the PBC in the different country-specific configurations should be standardized to the extent possible in order to maximize synergies and to increase the predictability of the program of work and the comparability of the future analysis. In this context, we welcome the establishment of a planning and monitoring tool for the work of the PBC. Mr. President, secondly, Portugal sees the annual debate session that will be launched this year as an innovative model and an important platform for reflection and deepening dialogue on peace building, contributing to greater coordination amongst various actors engaged with peace building activities. As Portugal has noted, the discussions in the annual debate should be focused on the integration of the tandem issues of security and development. These themes should also be considered alongside the political and humanitarian dimensions of peace building, as well as on the phases of early recovery. This approach will provide PBC with a more complete and empowering framework for its recommendations and initiatives to have greater impact on the ground. On the details of the June session, it will be important to know as soon as possible the rules of participation, which we believe should be open to interested member states. Such modalities will help to ensure participation from capitals and a more substantive and enriching discussion. Mr. President, thirdly, although some of the recommendations made in 2010 remain valid, the scope of the review of the peace building architecture in 2015 should be more comprehensive, establishing a link between the peace building architecture and the broader thematic discussion and processes such as the New Deal, G7 Plus, and the post-2015 development agenda. The various initiatives planned for 2014 should therefore be important contributions to the review process of 2015, and possibly even to the ongoing process of shaping of the post-2015 development agenda. We welcome the possibility of inviting the chair of the Sierra Leone country-specific configuration to share his thoughts and experiences on the ongoing transitional process to a development-focused UN country team presence, an initiative that would feed in the preparation for the 2015 review. It would be, however, equally important to reflect on the specific cases of the Central African Republic and Guinea-Bissau, and to consider the lessons learned and the capacity of the international community in these contexts to avoid, in the future, a repetition of the serious setbacks experienced in these countries. Mr. President, regarding the peace building funds, we would like to acknowledge the use of resources from the immediate response funds amounting to around $5 million for Guinea-Bissau. This experience is an example of how the PBC can, and has indeed, diversified its framework of action, helping to support the country in the restoration of constitutional order and the consolidation of the rule of law. Finally, we look forward to the results of the independent review of the peace building funds requested in 2013, which will be key for establishing the level of funds needed and provide guidance for its allocation. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the distinguished representative of Portugal And I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Pakistan.
Mr. President, Pakistan associates itself with the statement delivered by the distinguished permanent representative of Tunisia on behalf of the non-aligned movement. Let me also thank Ambassador Drobnjak of Croatia, the former chair, and Ambassador Patriota of Brazil, the current chair, for their statements and for their contributions to the work of the Peacebuilding Commission. We would also like to place on record our appreciation for the dedicated support provided by the PBSO for our work. The report before us provides a useful overview of the work of the Peacebuilding Commission during its seventh session. It also recommends an actionable agenda going forward. Pakistan supports the report's focus on the three key functions: advocacy and sustained attention, resource mobilization, and forging coherence. As we prepare for the first annual session of the Commission to be held in June this year, and in the run-up to the comprehensive review of the peace-building architecture in 2015, today's discussion provides a good opportunity for stock-taking. And I would like to make a few points in this regard. Mr. President, it is clear that there is growing consensus around the concept of peace-building as an enabler of sustainable peace and development in conflict and post-conflict situations. Consequently, the rationale for the Peacebuilding Commission remains valid and strong. The question is whether we have exploited the full potential of this unique body. The composition and the objectives of the Commission were a recognition of the fact that the Peacebuilding was a complex exercise involving political, security, humanitarian, and development dimensions, and that a broader representation and involvement of actors and stakeholders was required to pursue the coveted comprehensive approach. That is the context in which we can evaluate results and impacts and assess how the Commission has approached and carried out its core functions in assisting the countries on its agenda. Mr. President, peacebuilding is not only a long-term and complex task, it is also an expensive one. It requires resources, both human and financial. Failure to provide the adequate resources, and at the right time, may jeopardize the entire effort. The general sense is that expectations with regard to marshalling of external resources have not been met, and for various reasons. On the other hand, mobilization of internal resources does not seem to have gained the required attention. This aspect is crucial if we are to succeed in making peace sustainable and in enabling the countries concerned to stand on their own feet. It may be right that resource mobilization is not fundraising per se in the context of the PBC. Besides, natural resource-rich countries could actually have more than what they might expect to receive from the Peacebuilding Fund and other mechanisms. In such cases, the Commission's added value is in supporting the formulation of national resource mobilization strategies and helping strengthen institutions to pursue those strategies. On the whole, PBC's engagement should strategize resource mobilization in its various dimensions and in line with the specific requirements of the countries concerned. We need to do better in aligning funding streams with the national peace-building priorities, funding mechanisms that are more flexible and better directed towards peace and security objectives would definitely help. That many of the Peacebuilding Commission members are also the major donors should, in fact, facilitate these goals. It is also important to see peace building in a continuum, from conflict prevention to peacekeeping to post-conflict situations. Multidimensional peacekeeping missions, wherever they are deployed, implement critical peace-building tasks in their integrated mandates. There, the peacekeepers, as early peace builders, help lay the foundations of durable peace. Today, the bulk of peacekeeping resources is deployed in multidimensional missions, and hence the need to make them even more effective. Resolution 2086, adopted during Pakistan's presidency of the Security Council in January last year, was a landmark in this regard. It reinforced the strategic attention to peacekeeping and peace building that was mentioned by other delegations today. As the leading troop contributing country and as a member of the Security Council and the Peace Building Commission, Pakistan is proud to have contributed to that effort. Mr. President, the essence of forging coherence among the various actors, including the members of the Peace Building Commission, is to channel attention and resources to the nationally identified priorities. There is also room to enhance synergy and coordination among the various mechanisms within the Commission, including the country-specific configurations and the organizational committee. We need to engender concerted collective efforts and institutional actions to maximize the potential of all relevant actors around the table and on the ground. In that the PBC was created primarily as an advisory body, we also need to see how this advisory role can be made more relevant vis-a-vis the Security Council on peace and security issues, and vis-a-vis the General Assembly on the larger development and peace-building issues. As other speakers have noted, significant progress has been achieved over the last years. Sierra Leone is a classic example. However, considerable challenges remain in the peace-building arena. Some recent setbacks in other situations have shown that the risk of relapse is real and that more needs to be done to address the root causes. Mr. President, last but not the least, our work at the Commission and the forthcoming review should be guided by the positions and feedback of the countries on the agenda. And we would have liked to benefit from this aspect also during this debate. As compared to the Security Council, a major advantage of the Peacebuilding Commission is in its ability to directly engage the countries concerned in all stages of its work. Fully exploiting this advantage is the key to success, for effective peace building essentially results from genuine national ownership and committed international partnership. In the final analysis, PBC's success is to be gauged by the tangible results on ground, the improvement in the lives of the ordinary people affected by conflict. That, Mr. President, should continue to be the yardstick as we work to advance the peace-building agenda and together strengthen the peace-building architecture. I thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of Pakistan, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of the United Kingdom.
Thank you, Mr. President, for convening this annual session. I would also like to thank the Chair of the Peacebuilding Commission for his briefing and the Secretariat for preparing this report. Mr. President, 2013 represented a mixed year for UN peacebuilding. In parallel to today's session, the Council is discussing an important milestone as it closes down the UN's mission to Sierra Leone. The people of Sierra Leone have worked hard to stabilise their country, and although they still face many challenges, they are now on the path to a brighter future. the United Nations should be proud of the central role it has played in helping Sierra Leone recover from its devastating civil war. It is an example of how effective, tailored, and well-planned UN peacebuilding interventions can improve people's lives. And it demonstrates the impact the Peacebuilding Commission can have alongside a UN mission. The experiences of 15 years of UN peacebuilding in Sierra Leone have taught us that strong national ownership of inclusive peacebuilding processes and a focus on building national institutions are essential to securing a sustainable peace. However, recent relapses into conflict in the Central African Republic and South Sudan demonstrate that we must constantly review and improve our approaches to peacebuilding. Peacebuilding is becoming more complex and challenging for the UN as new drivers of conflict emerge, such as organized crime, drug trafficking, and the illicit trade in natural resources. We must rise to these new challenges. The Peacebuilding Commission has had some successes in responding to these changes. I have mentioned Sierra Leone. In Burundi, the Commission has provided valuable political accompaniment, advising the Security Council and UN team on how to navigate political developments. We look forward to the Commission continuing this work in Burundi in 2014 and beyond. Similarly, the Peacebuilding Fund has been a major driver of success in 2013. Targeted support to Yemen, Sierra Leone, and Somalia has helped underpin fragile political processes with robust and concrete activities. The United Kingdom remains a firm supporter of the fund and will continue our significant contribution in 2014. We urge others to do the same. Finally, Mr. President, a word on the 2015 review. The United Kingdom believes that the review should not focus solely on the institutions established in 2005, but that it should consider the effectiveness of all of the UN's activities on peacebuilding and the contributions made by all of the UN's operational peacebuilding arms, including the Secretariat and agencies, funds, and programs. Since 2005, peacebuilding has moved on and is now much more mainstreamed into the day-to-day work of many parts of the system. We look forward to productive discussions among member states in the months ahead as we advance our collective goal of a more effective and efficient UN. Thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of the United Kingdom, and I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Australia.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to thank Ambassador Dobrovolnyak and Ambassador Patriota for their statements this morning. Australia welcomes this year's annual General Assembly debate on the reports of the Peacebuilding Commission and the Peacebuilding Fund. The work of the Commission and the performance of the Fund are fundamental to building sustainable peace in post-conflict countries. As one of the first countries on the PBC's agenda, Sierra Leone stands as an important example of successful post-conflict recovery and peacebuilding. With the completion of UNIPSL's mandate next week, Sierra Leone's focus will shift from consolidating peace to spurring economic development. In this endeavour, Sierra Leone will have the full support of the international community and the UN agencies on the ground. As a member of the PBC's Sierra Leone configuration, Australia welcomes the fact that, for the first time since its establishment, the PBC is scaling down its engagement in one of its agenda countries. This reflects the extraordinary progress that the people and government of Sierra Leone have made since the end of the Civil War. Australia also welcomes the eligibility of Papua New Guinea for PBF support, which will focus on peacebuilding priorities in Bougainville. With the referendum on Bougainville's future political status due to be held between 2015 and 2020, the next few years will be crucial to consolidating the peacebuilding process. Australia is committed to encouraging and supporting all parties to work towards the full and timely implementation of the Bougainville Peace Agreement. And we look forward to continuing our work with UN actors to ensure that our support is targeted and effective. Mr. President, as we approach the 10-year review of the UN's peacebuilding architecture, it is timely for us to take stock of progress and look at how we can make this architecture more effective. Australia welcomes the efforts undertaken by the PBC to implement the recommendations of the 2010 review, particularly with respect to improving its working methods. We are encouraged by plans to convene an annual session of the PBC beginning this year to enable closer interaction among relevant stakeholders in New York, in capitals and in the field. This should help to streamline the PBC's working methods and strengthen the relevance and coherence of the PBC's work in the field. A key issue for the 2015 review will be the evolving relationship of the PBC with the three principal organs of the United Nations: the General Assembly, the Security Council, and the Economic and Social Council. Of critical importance is the need to reinforce links between the PBC and the Security Council. It is fundamental that this relationship be as effective and as cooperative as possible. As a non-permanent member of the Council, Australia strongly supports both formal and informal interactions between the two. Council members can learn much from the advice of the PBC's country-specific configurations, whether those countries are confronting a relapse into conflict or entering a period of transition. We have said previously that the PBC can usefully act as an early warning mechanism for the Council. Its engagement with local stakeholders gives it strong insights into developments on the ground. The PBC should continue to focus on articulating the scope of its advisory role in country-specific contexts to determine how best to add value to the Council's work. In this regard, we welcome the PBC's initiative to develop key objectives and milestones for each of its agenda countries in 2014. Australia also recognises the long-standing peace-building work of UN country teams and UN agencies in the field. They have been around for much longer than the PBC, and we must remember that they have significant experience and knowledge to share. PBC country-specific configurations should engage in more regular interactions with UN agencies to ensure cohesion between the various peace-building processes and activities taking place in those countries. The Liberia configuration stands out as a good example of this, where configuration members are regularly invited to meetings and video conferences with key players, from UNDP to the World Bank, to discuss the work they are doing on the ground. Mr. President, the PBC has a significant comparative advantage in serving as a bridge between governments and UN actors, both in the field and in New York. Australia encourages the PBC to do more to leverage the engagement of regional and sub-regional stakeholders in order to fully realise its mandated advocacy and political accompaniment role. By strengthening its engagement with relevant regional entities such as ECOWAS, the Mano River Union and ECAS, the PBC can contribute to building a common and shared vision of peace building in a regional context. Finally, Mr. President, on the vital issue of women's participation in peacebuilding, Australia welcomes the continued efforts of the Peacebuilding Support Office and all UN implementing agencies to meet the Secretary-General's target of 15% of PBF funding for projects focused on gender equality. While it is disappointing that only 7.4% of funding met this target in 2013, a reduction on the 2012 figure of 10.8%, we are heartened by the primacy that gender and women's empowerment is receiving in the PBF guidelines, as well as by the launch of a new training program in partnership with UN Women. Australia encourages the PBC to continue its efforts to integrate a gender dimension throughout its work. We welcome all efforts to consider economic revitalisation and national reconciliation through a gender lens, as key UN agencies such as UNDP are doing. And we are strongly supportive of the PBC's partnership with UN Women. Such a partnership is critical to raising awareness of the transformative role of women in post-conflict societies. I thank you.
I thank the distinguished representative of Australia. Distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, we have heard the last speaker in the debate on these items for this morning, for this meeting. We shall hear the remaining speakers in the afternoon at 3 p.m. in this hall. This meeting is therefore adjourned.